Listen now for the word of God found in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive." Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we pray that you would reveal yourself to us as you have in the past. We pray that even in our homes, even in virtual spaces, even in new and uncertain times, we pray that nothing would keep our eyes from recognizing you. We pray that your power would make itself manifest. We pray that we would recognize you, and that in so doing, we would rejoice in knowing that you are with us and that you promise never to leave us nor forsake us. For this, we offer our hearts, we offer ourselves, we offer all that we are, and we invite you into this space, into our hearts and into our lives. And now, oh God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For God, you are our rock, you are our strength, you are our constant companion, and you are our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen and amen. As I began, I made a note that one piece of this will be for the children of the church, but I think I'm going to amend that and allow some of the adults who would also like to participate to do the same. We hear this story, and when I hear the story, first, I wonder if that same story could happen today. I wonder if I could walk with a friend, even though we'd have to keep 6 feet between us. And I wonder if we could talk about the things of the past month and a half, the past 6 weeks. And I wonder how we would respond if a stranger joined us, keeping that same 6 feet distance, and asked, "What's going on? What are you talking about?" And knowing me, I would probably be the first one to whip around and put my hand on my hip and ask, "Have you been under a rock? Do you not know? Did you not know that there was a global pandemic, not just the tri-state area, global, whole world?" That would probably be me. My companion might be a little more gracious. My companion might be the one who's a little more hospitable. But I'm a little on edge, because this new way of life this past 6 weeks is not a new normal. It's just new. There's nothing normal about it. So my reaction might be a little bit tense. I might not be quick to welcome the stranger. But in this story, they walk with the stranger and they stop and they look sad because it's a difficult time. It's okay to feel sad when you feel sad. And they explain to him all of the things that are going on, and they unpack all of what has made them sad. We had hoped that this one that we followed was going to be the one, and now we're not so sure. So now we're leaving the city. We're going to Emmaus, and we're going to do something different than what we planned, but we had hope. And then the stranger begins to tell them, or actually remind them, of what came before. Well, wasn't there the story of the prophets? Weren't there others who came and foretold that this was going to happen? Wasn't there a story that was already unfolded to you? This isn't really news. It's just hard because you're in the moment. And when they get to the place where they're able to make a decision of whether to invite the stranger to stay or to let him go on ahead, they do the very hospitable thing, the thing that we are so cautious about right now. They welcome this stranger and they say, "No, you should stay. Stay with us. It's almost nighttime. It's going to be hard and difficult out here on this road. It's going to be dangerous for you. Stay with us. We don't know you, but we want you to stay with us." And as they stay and as they sit and they begin to break bread together, the story says that as soon as Jesus blessed and broke the bread, they instantly knew who he was. What I'm asking my younger congregants, I want to ask you to do something for me, and I want to ask you to find three things. Find three things in your house, three things in your environment that remind you that God is with you. In the story, it wasn't until Jesus broke the bread and shared the cup and said the familiar things that they realized, "Oh, that's who this is." And I'm sure that some of us will not look like our old selves when this is all said and done. We can't get our nails done. We can't get our hair cut. There are lots of things that we're not able to do to maintain the way we looked before the pandemic and before we were locked in the house. I'm sure some of us will be nearly unrecognizable when we come out. But I want to ask you to find three things that remind you that God is real and that God is with you, because that's what this story is about. It's about the reminder that God is real and God is with you. So I have three things. The first thing, I hope you can see this. This is an old picture of my mom and dad. My mom and dad remind me that God is real. They gave me the life that I have, and in their stories and in our traditions, and in going to church, they taught me to find God for myself, not just to accept their God, but to find God for myself. The second thing, and I don't know if you can tell, this is a very old and beat up Bible. This is the Bible that was given to me by my colleague when I was ordained. And when I said, "Okay, God, I'll stop being a school teacher and I will be a pastor for your people," this book is a reminder to me that God is real and that God is with me, and that other people can see that God is real and God is with me. The last thing that I have is a very girly thing. This is my little mirror. This is the mirror. This is the thing that reminds me not just to wipe my face because my makeup is running. This is the thing that reminds me that not only is God with me, but that I am made in God's image. Every time I look in the mirror, I'm reminded that I am a child of God. So I want you to find your three things. What are the three things that remind you that God is with you? What are the three things that remind you that God is real for you? What are the three things that you can find that remind you that God sees you, God loves you, and God is with you? I want you to either send me an email, type in the chat box, or just share with me some kind of way, draw a picture and send it to me. I love getting things in the mail. Show me in the same way that Jesus showed himself to his friends. Show me how you know that God is with you. Thanks be to God. For the adults on the journey, the story is no different. For us, perhaps we are imagining what life will be like when it's all over. For us, the Emmaus journey, leaving the city, going to a place that's more familiar, can be a little bit more complex and a little more convoluted. We don't know these two characters. Cleopas, who is that? Where did that name come from? Well, why didn't they choose one of the disciples? We know the disciples. That's why the text doesn't choose the disciples, because we would have imported something into the story that was not intended to be there. If it had been Peter, we would have quickly judged. Peter, how could you not know? You were with Jesus all along. These are two whose names didn't quite make the story, whose names didn't make the headline, but Jesus still goes to them and reminds them that everything that they had heard and everything that they had hoped has been real and it is true. As we go through our lives, are there those who do not come to virtual worship, who do not come into the sanctuary, who do not come into the chapel, but who have come into our lives, those who walk with us, who might not call themselves disciples, but who know the story? How can the God in us be the God that is with them? When we leave our pandemic lifestyle, we cannot go back to what we knew before. This is the story of the resurrection. The resurrection reminds us that when you go from this moment, you don't go back to what you knew before. You may go back to a physical place. You may go back to the same desk at the same job. You may go back to the drawing board. You may be an entrepreneur whose business has closed. You may be the owner of a restaurant in Philadelphia that was thriving before and has now had to close. The store has closed. The entrepreneurial spirit has not left you. God is still with us, even in times that look the same but are yet very different. Emmaus may have been home for Cleopas and his friend. They traveled to Jerusalem. They traveled to the big city for the festivities. Now their hopes have been dashed and the grief begins to set in. And so they make their way back to what they once knew. Jesus meets them on their way back to what they thought they knew, changes their lives in that moment, renews their hope. It does not say that the grief left immediately. They probably had mixed emotions even as Jesus is talking to them. Did not our hearts burn when he spoke to us? But they didn't say their hearts were burning as he was speaking. In the text, Jesus gets to speak, their eyes are opened, and then they have a story to tell. On the way back to what they knew, they had an encounter that would change everything that they would do going forward. They had an encounter and they didn't recognize Jesus at first because the grief was too overwhelming, because the reality was too overwhelming. And on this journey through a time of pandemic where fear and foolishness seemed to be writing the narrative, this text and the work of the resurrection remind us that that's not all there is. All hope is not lost. It may not end the way it appears to be ending. The resurrection is true. Jesus is, in fact, the way, the truth, and the light. So what does that mean for us? That means that on this Emmaus road, which is our time in this pandemic, things may feel different. Things may feel off kilter. We may feel overwhelming grief and not know where to put it. We feel a little disjointed. Some of us may feel guilty because we actually feel joy and relief to be able to be home and to not have the stressors of the day. But when we go back out of this particular time and space, we go with resurrection hope. We go with resurrection energy. We go with resurrection eyesight that allows us to see we will not go back to business as usual. When this congregation gathers again in the sanctuary, I would guarantee, even with the staggering of how Philadelphia will come back into business, I would guarantee that possibly the ways that we will do church will shift a little bit. How will we welcome the stranger? Will we wear masks the first few weeks back in the sanctuary? Will the greeters give you a bulletin and a mask and hand sanitizer? How will we go back to the place we know? And how will we do the things we know in light of what we know now, which is that God is with us, shifting and shaping and changing and making things brand new? In this time of pandemic, are we ready for Jesus to reveal all of who God is and all of who we are? And as God makes all things new, are we ready to do a brand new thing? I would offer to us, to each of us and to all of us, as the companions on the road spent time with Jesus, and Jesus put into perspective their situation, reminded them that there was a history long before them. The same is instructive to us. This is not the first pandemic that humankind has ever seen. This is not the first thing that has been difficult to survive, but we will survive. This may be the hardest thing we've ever endured in our lifetimes. And yet, God is with us. That is the promise. The promise is not that every little thing is going to be all right. That's a Bob Marley song. That's not a hymn. The promise is, I will be with you in hard times, in dark times. I will walk with you. I will give you joy. I will give you joy for your sorrow, but your sorrow has a place. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy does come in the morning. For this community, what is on offer is resurrection joy, is a new way to see who we can be in this city. When the city reopens and welcomes us back, how will we re-engage? How will we let them know that we've never lost sight of who God is and how God is with us? This is what is on offer to us this morning.